From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with his study in the law of God, Dr. Cairns comes today to the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. At the outset, Dr. Cairns defines the word kill. Although some have tried to apply this command to protecting the environment or forbidding capital punishment, the term in Scripture refers almost exclusively to the unlawful taking of a human life. God's word is very clear that human life is precious to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ clarified this command when He said, Thou shalt do no murder. As we'll see, there is a divinely ordained precept regarding the execution of those who deliberately kill others. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of the message in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this selection from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Care of Our Feet. The text is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. He will keep the feet of His saints. The way is slippery, and our feet are feeble. But the Lord will keep our feet. If we give ourselves up by obedient faith to be His holy ones, He will Himself be our guardian. Not only will He charge His angels to keep us, but He Himself will preserve our goings. He will keep our feet from falling, so that we do not defile our garments, wound our souls, and cause the enemy to blaspheme. He will keep our feet from wandering, so that we do not go into paths of error or ways of folly or courses of the world's custom. He will keep our feet from swelling through weariness or blistering because of the roughness and length of the way. He will keep our feet from wounding. Our shoes shall be iron and brass, so that even though we tread on the edge of the sword or on deadly serpents, we shall not bleed or be poisoned. He will also pluck our feet out of the net. We shall not be entangled by the deceit of our malicious and crafty foes. With such a promise as this, let us run without weariness and walk without fear. He who keeps our feet will do it effectually.
And rest.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you. As we continue with our studies in the law of God, we're going to read a few verses in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 22. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to build or to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. In continuing our studies in the law of God, we come to a text in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 20. This is the sixth of the Ten Commandments. It's very brief, very easily remembered, very simple in its statement, though far-reaching in its import. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Now, this sixth commandment sounds very absolute. It appears on first reading to be a commandment absolutely without conditions or without exceptions. As it stands, thou shalt not kill, it seems to cover every form of life, animal as well as human, in every conceivable set of circumstances. A great American theologian, Timothy Dwight, said, "The commandment which is given us in this text is expressed in the most absolute manner. Thou shalt not kill. To kill is the thing forbidden. And by the words, it is forbidden in all cases whatsoever. Whenever we kill any living creature, therefore, we are guilty of a transgression of this command, unless we are permitted to take away the life in question by exception which God himself hath made to this rule." Now, in case you think that Timothy Dwight is some sort of freak of the modern environmental movement, let me hasten to inform you that he was born away back in 1752, so hardly quite modern. Before environmentalism became the in thing, and as the grandson of the famous Jonathan Edwards and later president of Yale University, he was a very eminent Orthodox preacher of the gospel of Christ. But this was how he looked at this commandment. It's a sin in breach of this commandment to take life in any form, for any reason, under any circumstances, unless that life in question may be taken by some exception to the rule, which God Himself has explicitly made. There are many others who take the same position as Dwight. I think of a modern Dutch Calvinist theologian, possibly the most insightful of modern writers on the law that I have come across. He uses this sixth commandment as a springboard for a strong plea for what he calls environmental stewardship, to prohibit the continued forced extinction of various species of plants and of animals, just to gratify the greed of man. He uses the sixth commandment to attack such things as deforestation and overplanting that have rendered vast tracts of the earth infertile and therefore deadly to man and beast. Similarly, from this sixth commandment, he inveighs very heavily against industrialization gone mad, an industrialization that cares for nothing but the bottom line, and cares very little about death-dealing pollutants just so long as the profits look good. Now, this manner of employing the sixth commandment, therefore, is not either something novel or modern, nor is it something from the radical left. This is something that lies at the mainstream of Protestant theology, and certainly it is a way of taking the sixth commandment that deserves very thoughtful and respectful attention. He would be a very foolish man indeed, and a very unscriptural man, who would advocate a careless disregard for animal life or for the environment in which we live. However, having said all that, we must say that the sixth commandment, in reality, does not address such things directly. In fact, I would go further and say it doesn't address them at all, except insofar as in addressing, say, environmental things, it may touch on matters that affect or threaten human life. The word kill here is an interesting word. It is a word that is used in the scriptures in a very uniform way. It is never used of killing plants or killing animals. It is a word that is used only of killing people. And we can narrow it down even more, except where it refers to the judicial slaying of a man who left the safety of the city of refuge without warrant. It always means to take away a human life unlawfully. That is the meaning of the text. While it may sound very good, and there would be other scriptures to support the ideas of Timothy Dwight or Professor Dauma, whom I also referred to, yet the sixth commandment is not one that touches really on that subject, except in a very oblique way. Thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not take a human life unlawfully. The Lord Jesus Christ endorses this interpretation of the Hebrew Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 19, we read him speaking to the rich young ruler, and he quotes the sixth commandment. In verse 17, he says to the rich young ruler, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? And the Lord Jesus starts with the sixth. He said, thou shalt do no murder. So that we have a twofold basis then for giving the meaning of our text. First, there is the uniform usage of the Hebrew verb to kill, and it means to take the life of a human unlawfully. And second, we have the explicit commentary of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he interprets the sixth commandment. Should I say he translates it? thou shalt do no murder. So the sixth commandment, therefore, is dealing and with and addressing the subject of the unlawful taking of a human life. Now, of course, that presupposes that there are lawful ways of taking human life. And the Bible makes that very clear. For example, we find in Exodus 22 that it is lawful to take another life in defense of your own. We read in verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood shed for him. In other words, if I find in the night that a thief has broken in upon my property, I have every right to suppose that violence is in his mind and it is his purpose. And if I smite him that he die, there will be no penalty of the law. That is the law of God. But just to show you that that does not give open season even against criminals, the next verse goes on to say that if the thief is caught in daylight, then there is no ground for killing him. In the darkness, in the confusion, I may well think that an unarmed man even may be armed, that a man simply stealing silver is therefore also there to do murder. But in daylight, in the broad light of day, unless there is an explicit threat to life, I have no right to take a life. In other words, it is the law of God that has instituted what those who study jurisprudence call proportionality. And killing a man is not a proportionate action or a proportionate punishment for him stealing my silver. So that if the daylight be risen upon him, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. What is the proportional punishment? He should make full restitution according to the law of God. And if he can't make restitution, then let him be sold for his theft. So even the life of a criminal is precious in God's sight. But in self-defense, it is lawful to take another life. Capital punishment is a second way whereby it is lawful to take another life. Genesis 9 verse 6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. It's very interesting that there are about 30 different crimes in the Old Testament for which the death penalty was enacted. Though I think we would be right in saying it was not very often executed. But there were about 30 different crimes. However, among all those crimes, the crime of murder was one that the Lord seemed to set in a category by itself.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.